Doug was a great brawler. Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. Sorry, Doug.
Doug, you ready to scowl to the brawl again?
Doug could not be here again, even though he keeps trying to come. His schedule is very daunting. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. I'm the host and co-creator of the Bard Brawl. Nikki Lambros told me that if a cat licks a plate, it should be smashed.
Mm-hmm. No, in Greece. If a cat licks a plate in Greece,
Have to be a Greek cat?
Yeah, I don't know anybody else that smashes plates and doesn't just wash them. I think it's only Greeks that do that.
Well, Nikki Lambros is back, joining us with the Bard Brawl, giving us tidbits about Greece. I was reading a book by Murakami, Haruki Murakami. He ran the marathon from Athens to Marathon, which is not actually a complete marathon length. It's somewhere around 25 miles, not the full 26.2 miles. So if you're planning on running that apparently god-awful street...
It was probably longer back then, because they put in a new highway.
And subway.
And because they're shorter.
That's Nick, Mr. Nick McMahon, straight off the stage and back into the Bard Brawl Studios. Mr. Nick, how are you?
I'm grand.
How was your summer?
Beautiful.
Here, Winnipeg. Yeah. How are the mosquitoes in Winnipeg?
May I jump in here for a sec?
Yes.
Into that void in the corner of the kitchen?
You didn't want to talk about the mosquitoes?
Well, the mosquitoes...
Is that a sore spot?
No, we have them under control. We have... We're spraying with citronella.
Eric Jean, co-captain beside me, sitting silently listening to this fascinating scientific debate. The winter is almost upon us. Well, I should say the summer is almost ended.
Yeah. And with the end of summer comes end of mosquitoes and wasps and ridiculous heat.
Actually, it was quite cool in Winnipeg, so there were no mosquitoes when I was there last week.
There's not really any mosquitoes in Montreal anyway.
Not really.
No.
Stephanie E.M. Coleman, where you are from, there's also many mosquitoes in Clearwater, B.C.
Mm-hmm. Zillions.
Are there?
Zillions. Mm-hmm. It's...
What about black flies?
Not...
You have to go up by the lake.
Are black flies the same as midges?
Yeah. Okay. I think.
We don't use that word around here, Nick.
Black flies don't bite.
Yeah, they do.
Black flies bite
and they leave red splotches on you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What are the normal flies that are just annoying? Aren't
house
those black?
House flies.
Oh, they're house flies.
They're harmless.
They're also
blue
black.
Bottles.
Yeah.
Is that the scientific term?
So, I've decided that today we will, Eric, read some Shakespeare.
That is an excellent initiative.
Read not an entire play of Shakespeare.
That would be foolish.
Foolish. And pointless. But just one act of Shakespeare. One act of a history Shakespearean history.
Yes.
And I will start with, at random, Richard the... Second Act 4.
Yes.
Totally at random.
Yeah.
So, all of the listeners who have tuned in, is there a place they can go and get caught up so that they...
Yeah, there's this bardbrawl.com, which puts up reviews or sort of summaries of the act, and you can download our, this very show, in fact.
Good things.
So acts 1 through 3 are on bardbrawl.com. You can go there and you can listen to them. This is Shakespeare Cold Red, one act at a time, pound for pound, like a couple of squirrels in Park LaFontaine. Albino and Grey both exist there. Not White Squirrels Toronto. I read that article in the Globe and Mail and was annoyed.
There are black squirrels here too.
Yes, that's
right. Yeah, black squirrels in
my neighborhood
in Vancouver.
It's going to be white squirrel flight soon.
Well, pound for pound, they got to take it.
Vanilla and caramel.
Ooh.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Rocky Road. We have a total
Rocky
Road.
Rocky and squirrels.
Sounds delicious. We'd like to give a shout out right now to Delilah Fabrics, who provided the Bard Brawl with the t-shirts, actually more like baseball tops, that all who have worn have loved.
The most excellent t-shirt I've ever had.
There you go. It's a nice material. It's cool. On hot days like this, it is very nice. You can go to bardbrawl.com and send us an email and we can get you one. They're lovely and supports Delilah and ourselves. We'll be having a artist slash writer's workshop at Delilah for the upcoming issue of Zunes, which is titled The Mad King. If you would like to submit anything, send us an email and we'll look at your stuff. Eric Jean, what is going on in King Richard II?
Well, things aren't going very well for King Richard. He banished Bolingbroke and Mowbray, who doesn't really matter. But he banished Bolingbroke, who decided that to come home early when he found out that King Richard was trying to pawn off his lands to pay for his parties and wars. So he came back, gathered up a posse, and sort of cornered the king and was trying to confront the king to get his lands back. And then the king said, oh, okay, you got me. You're the king now. And sort of gave up his crown, and Bolingbroke was like, I didn't come here for this. But all his friends were like, hey, listen, buddy, like, he's giving you the crown. We're all backing you. You should probably just take control.
He has come down, as it were.
Yes, that's
Act
right.
Three, some of the greatest speeches in all of the Bard's work. Check out the film version called Hollow Crown. It is excellent. It's a series. The first one is King Richard II. It's brilliant. It helps you to understand sort of what's going on because it's sometimes difficult, especially when you're reading. Like, what's he doing? What's he actually doing? But as Eric told us, he came down. And Bolingbroke now is to assume the kingship. Bolingbroke and Richard are cousins.
Yep.
And Richard's father was the king. No. Was it his father that was the king and told them don't fight?
Richard inherited from his father, I'm pretty sure. The part of the problem here, though, is that...
Edward III, though,
is it? Yeah. The part of the problem here is that Richard II doesn't have any children.
Right.
So the designated heir would have been someone that he picked out rather than, you know, this is my firstborn son or whatever.
Ah. Yeah. Troy Clements has food poisoning today. Mackerel. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah, mackerel. No, it's not a PEI. Yeah, nothing's funny about PEI. Tragedy.
My brother is there right now, let me tell you how unfunny. He went to a Shania Twain concert.
In PEI?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a nice night.
Yeah.
Get yourself a sack
of
potatoes.
Met the band and backstage and partied out with Shania and the band.
Well, Shania.
Why don't you just ask Troy how he's feeling? He's right there.
He left. Welcome back, Nick. So we have a ton of characters in this scene. It's actually just one scene for this act. We have Bolingbroke, who I have been playing. Baggett, who Eric has been playing. Amul, who Nikki played. Fitzwater is a new small character. We'll give that to Stephanie E.M. Coleman. We have Harry Percy. Eric was reading him. He's a very small part of this scene, so he should be okay. Suri, Nick McMahon. Would you like to read Suri?
Suri, sure.
And because we'll have to double up a bit, Carlisle will be Nikki Lambros, the bishop, taking... I usually take the bishops, but...
I bet she'll make a mean bishop.
Yeah,
though.
I think it'll be good. And York, we'll give that to Nick. That was your character, Eric, but the king is also here, which is you. Mm-hmm. Northumberland is Stephanie, and the abbot has a very short bit at the end. Maybe Nikki can grab that. So
I'll take all the religious people.
You
listen. Matters nothing to me now.
Okay. Oof. So you listeners at home,
Nikki
recommend...
Nikki Lambros is, of course, referring to...
As she strangles Nick.
Ah. Should we leave? I feel like we should leave.
Westminster Hall!
Follow along at home, listeners.
Enter Bolingbroke with Lords O'Mell, Northumberland, Percy, Fitzwater, Surrey, the Bishop of Carlisle, the Abbot of Westminster, and another Lord to Parliament, UP and Harold.
Is Harold... Does Harold mean trumpets? Yeah, trumpets. Call forth Baggett.
Enter officers with Baggett.
Now, Baggett, freely speak thy mind. What thou dost know of noble Gloucester's death? Who wrought it with the king, and who performed the bloody office in his timeless end?
Then set before my face the Lord O'Mell.
Cousin, stand forth and look upon that man.
My Lord O'Mell, I know your daring tongue scorns to unsay what once it has delivered. In that death time when Gloucester's death was plotted, I heard you say, "Is not my arm of length that reacheth from this restful English court as far as Calais to mine uncle's head?" Among such other talk that very time, I heard you say that you had rather refused the offer of 100,000 crowns than Bolingbroke's return to England, adding withal how blessed this land would be in this your cousin's death.
Princes and noble lords, what answer shall I make to this base man? Shall I so much dishonor my fair stars on equal terms to give him chastisement? Either I must, or have mine honor soiled with the attainder of his slanderous lips. There is my gage, the manual seal of death, that marks thee out for hell. I say, thou liest, and will maintain what thou hast said is false to thy heart blood, though being all too base to stain the temper of my knightly sword.
Bagot, forbear. Thou shalt not take it up.
Excepting one, I would he were the best in all this presence that hath moved me so.
That thy valor stand on sympathy, there is my gage, O Merle, and gage to thine. By that fair sun which shows me where thou standest, I heard thee say, and vauntingly thou spakest it, that thou wert cause of noble Gloucester's death. If thou deniest it 20 times, thou liest, and I will turn thy falsehood to thy heart, where it was forged with my rapier's point.
Thou darest not, coward, live to see the day.
Now by my soul I would it were this hour.
Fitzwater, thou art damned to hell for this.
O Mel, thou liest. His honour's as true in this appeal as thou art unjust, and that thou art so, there I throw my gage to prove it on thee, the extremest point of mortal breathing. Seize it, if thou darest.
And if I do not, may my hands rot off, and never brandish more my revengeful steel over the glittering helmet of my foe.
I test the earth to lie forsworn, O Merle, and spurn thee on with full as many lies as may be hollowed in thy treacherous ear from sun to sun. There's my honor's pawn. Engage it to the trial if thou darest.
Who says to me else? By heaven, I'll throw it all. I have 1,000 spirits in one breast to answer 20,000 such as you.
My lord Fitzwater, I do remember well the very first time O'Merrill and you did talk.
'Tis very true you were in presence then, and you can witness with me this is true.
As false, by heaven, as heaven itself is true.
Surrey, thou liest.
Dishonorable boy! That lie shall lie so heavy on my sword that it shall render vengeance and revenge. Till thou the lie giver, and that lie do lie, in earth as quiet as thy father's skull. And proof whereof, there is my honor's pawn. Engage it to the trial if thou darest.
How fondly dost thou spur a forward horse. If I dare eat or drink or breathe or live, I dare meet Surrey in a wilderness and spit upon him, whilst I say he lies and lies and lies. There is my bond of faith, to tie thee to my strong correction. As I intend to thrive in this new world, O'Marle is guilty of my true appeal. Besides, I heard the banished Norfolk say that thou, O'Merrill, didst send 2 of thy men to execute the noble duke at Calais.
Some honest Christian, trust me with a gage that Norfolk lies. Here I do throw down this, if he may be repealed to try his honor.
These differences shall all rest under gage till Norfolk be repealed. Repealed he shall be, and though mine enemy, restored again to all his lands and signiories. When he is returned against O'Merle, we will enforce his trial.
Carlisle, it's you.
Oh, that's me. That honorable day shall never be seen. Many a time hath banished Norfolk fought for Jesu Christ in glorious Christian field, streaming the ensign of the Christian cross against black pagans, Turks, and Saracens, and, toiled with the works of war, retired himself to Italy, and there at Venice gave his body to that pleasant country's earth, and his pure soul unto his captain, Christ, under whose colors he had fought so long.
Why, Bishop, is Norfolk dead?
As surely as I live, my lord.
Sweet peace conduct his sweet soul to the bosom of good old Abraham. Lords, appellants, your differences shall all rest under gage, till we assign you to your days of trial.
Enter York attended.
Great Duke of Lancaster, I come to thee from plume-plucked Richard, who with willing soul adopts the heir, and his high scepter yields to the possession of thy royal hand. ascend his throne, descending now from him. And long live Henry, fourth of that name.
In God's name, I'll ascend the regal throne.
Marry, God forbid.
Whoops.
Worst in this royal presence may I speak, yet best beseeming me to speak the truth. Would God that any in this noble presence were enough noble to be upright judge of noble Richard. Then true noblesse would learn him forbearance from so foul a wrong. What subject can give sentence on his king? And who sits here that is not Richard's subject? Thieves are not judged, but they are by to hear, although apparent guilt be seen in them. And shall the figure of God's majesty, his captain, steward, deputy elect, anointed, crowned, planted many years, be judged by subject and inferior breath, and he himself not present? Oh, for offended God, that in a Christian climate souls refined should show so heinous, black, obscene a deed. I speak to subjects, and a subject speaks, stirred up by God, thus boldly for his king. My lord of Hereford here, whom you call king, is foul traitor to proud Hereford's king. And if you crown him, let me prophesy, the blood of English shall manure the ground, and future ages groan for this foul act. Peace shall go sleep with Turks and infidels, and in this seat of peace tumultuous wars shall kin with kin, and kind with kind confound. Disorder, horror, fear, and mutiny shall here inhabit, and this land be called the Field of Golgotha, dead men's skulls. Oh, if you raise this house against this house, it will the woefulest division prove that ever fell upon this cursed earth. Prevent it, resist it, let it be not so, lest child's children cry against you, woe.
Where's Northumberland, Stephanie?
Oh, well have you argued, sir, and for your pains of capital treason we arrest you here. My lord of Westminster, be at your charge, keep him safely till his day of trial. May it please you, lords, to grant the common suit.
Fetch hither Richard, that in common view he may surrender, so we shall proceed without suspicion.
I will be his conduct.
Exit.
Lords, you that here are under our arrest, procure your sureties for your days of answer. Little are we beholding to your love, and little looked for at your helping hands.
Enter Richard and York with officers bearing the crown and scepter. Alack, why am I sent for to a king before I have shook off the regal thoughts wherein I reigned? I hardly yet have learned to insinuate, flatter, bow, and bend my knee. Give sorrow leave a while to tutor me to this submission. Yet I well remember the favors of these men. Were they not mine? Did they not sometimes cry, all hail to me? So Judas did to Christ. But he, in 12, fell truth in all but one. I, in 12,000, none. God save the king. Will no man say amen? Am I both priest and clerk? Well then, amen. God save the king, although I be not he. And yet, amen, if heaven do think me him. To do what service am I sent for hither?
To do that office of thine own good will, which tired majesty did make thee offer. The resignation of thy state and crown to Henry Bolingbroke.
Give me the crown. Here, cousin, seize the crown. Here. Cousin, on this side my hand, and on that side thine. Now in this golden crown, like a deep well that owes two buckets, filling one another, the emptier ever dancing in the air, the other down, unseen and full of water. That bucket down and full of tears am I, drinking my griefs, while you mount up on high.
I thought you had been willing to resign.
My crown I am, but still my griefs are mine. You may my glories and my state depose, but not my griefs. Still, I am king of those.
Part of your cares you give me with your crown.
Your cares set up do not pluck my cares down. My care is loss of care, by old care done. Your care is gain of care, by new care won. The cares I give I have, though given away they tend the crown, yet still with me they stay.
Are you contented to resign the crown?
No. Aye, for I must nothing be. Therefore, no, for I resign to thee. Now mark me how I will undo myself. I'd give this heavy weight from off my head, and this unwieldy scepter from my hand, the pride of kingly sway from out my heart. With mine own tears I wash away my balm. With mine own hands I give away my crown. mine own tongue deny my sacred state, with mine own breath release all duteous oaths, all pomp and majesty I do forswear, my manners, rents, revenues I forgo, my acts, decrees, and statutes I deny. God pardon all oaths that are broke to me. God keep all vows unbroke are made to thee. Make me that nothing have with nothing grieved, and thou will all pleased that hast all achieved. Long mayst thou live in Richard's seat to sit, and soon lie Richard in an earthly pit. God save King Henry, unkinged Richard says, and send him many years of sunshine days. What more remains?
Oh, no more but that you read.
Presenting a paper.
These accusations and these grievous crimes committed by your person and your followers against the state and profit of this land, that by confessing them, the souls of men may deem that you are worthily deposed.
Must I do so? Must I ravel out my weaved-up follies? Gentle Northumberland, if thy offences were upon record, would it not shame thee in so fair a troop to read a lecture of them? If thou wouldst, there should thou find one anus article containing the deposing of a king, and cracking the strong warrant of an oath, marked with a blot, damned in the book of heaven. Nay, all of you that stand and look upon me whilst that wretchedness doth bait myself, though some of you with Pilate wash your hands, showing an outward pity yet with Pilate's, have you delivered me to my sour cross, and water cannot wash away your sin.
My lord, dispatch, read o'er these articles.
Mine eyes are full of tears, I cannot see, and yet salt water blinds them not so much, but they can see a sort of traitors here. Nay, if I turn mine eyes upon myself, I find myself a traitor with the rest, for I have given here my soul's consent to undeck the pompous body of a king, made glory base and sovereignty a slave, proud majesty a subject, state a peasant.
My lord.
No lord of thine, thou hot, insulting man, nor no man's lord. I have no name, no title. No, not that name was given me at the font, but 'tis usurped. Alack the heavy day that I have worn so many winters out. I know not now what name to call myself. Oh, that I were a mockery king of snow, standing before the sun of Bolingbroke, to melt myself away in water drops. Good king, great king, and yet not greatly good. And if my word be sterling yet in England, let it command a mirror hither straight, that it may show me what a face I have, since it is bankrupt of his majesty.
Go, some of you, and fetch a looking-glass.
Exit attendant.
Read o'er this paper while the glass doth come.
Fiend, thou tormest me ere I come to hell.
Urge it no more, my lord Northumberland.
The commons will not then be satisfied.
They shall be satisfied. I'll read enough. When I do see the very book indeed where all my sins are writ, and that's myself.
Enter attendant with the glass.
Give me that glass, and therein will I read. No deeper wrinkles yet. Has sorrow struck so many blows upon this face of mine, and made no deeper wounds? A flattering glass, like to thy followers in prosperity, thou dost beguile me. Was this the face that every day under his household roof did keep 10,000 men? Was this the face that, like the sun, did make beholders wink? Is this the face that faced so many follies that was at last outfaced by Bolingbroke? A brittle glory shineth in this face, as brittle as the glory in the face. Dashes the glass against the ground.
Smash!
Cat might have licked it.
The cat might have licked it. That's right. That's right. For there it is, cracked in 100 shivers. Mark, silent king, the moral of the sport. How soon my sorrow has destroyed my face.
The shadow of your sorrow hath destroyed the shadow of your face.
Say that again. The shadow of my sorrow. Let's see. 'Tis very true. My grief lies all within. And these external matters of lament are merely shadows to the unseen grief that swells with silence in the tortured souls. There lies the substance. And I thank thee, King, for thy great bounty that not only gives me cause to wail, but teaches me the way how to lament the cause. I'll beg one boon, and then be gone and trouble you no more. Shall I obtain it?
Name it, fair cousin.
Fair cousin, I am greater than a king, for when I was a king, my flatterers were then but subjects. Being now a subject, I have a king here to flatter me. Being so great, I have no need to beg.
Yet ask.
And shall I have?
You shall.
And give me leave to go.
Whither?
Whither you will, so I were from your sight.
Go, some of you, convey him to the tower.
Oh, good. Conveyors are you all, that thus, that rise thus nimbly by a true king's fall.
Eggs and Richard, some lords and a guard. On Wednesday next, we solemnly proclaim our coronation. Lords, be ready all.
Exit Manet, Abbot of Westminster, Carlisle, and O'Mell.
Oh, these are all Nicky, actually.
All right.
Nick, do you want to be Abbot?
Sure. You are now an Abbot.
I'll go back to my Carlisle.
Okay.
That way we can...
Yeah.
And you can be the...
The worst French accent in Bard Brawl history, perhaps.
No, it's awesome.
A woeful pageant have we here beheld.
The woes to come, the children yet unborn, shall feel this day as sharp as them as thorn.
You holy clergymen, is there no plot to rid the realm of this pernicious blot?
My lord, before I freely speak my mind herein, you shall not only take the sacrament to bury mine intents, but also to effect whatever I shall happen to devise. I see your brows are full of discontent, your hearts of sorrow, and your eyes of tears. Come home with me to supper. I will lay a plot, shall show us all a merry day.
Excellent.
This is a very interesting. This is the only play that I can think of, but I might be wrong, where a king is exchanging his crown. Sort of like they're actually discussing.
Well, I would like.
But Lear doesn't actually give his king to his. Like, he doesn't give his kingship. He,
it's beautiful.
He divides his lands. Does he actually give him. Like, it's just really weird. It's the only play like this where there's a scene like that.
But you see, the idea that somebody can be on king, like this line right here is very interesting. With mine own tears, I wash away my balm. What does that mean? It's this chrism. That's special for kings. It's like almost like baptism when you get chrismated.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you can't like de-king a king. It's like when you become a priest, even though they can defrock you, you're still a priest. You're just not allowed
to practice.
So
and then Carlisle.
But he can't actually not be king. That's what's a weird thing about this play, because you know you just can't do that.
And Carlisle sort of brings that up that this is God's anointed, and there was that.
Yeah.
Like divinity of kings, and how does that happen?
And I can't not be an altar boy. I'm here holding the Pope for Nikki.
It's an excellent point.
But yeah, it is a, like to me, it's almost like King Lear in reverse. Like King Lear gives away all of his power, but keeps his title.
Here
he realizes that his title is nothing but hot air, and like he's got the. He's been anointed, but his power base doesn't exist. It's all flatterers and sort of like someone pulling the rug out from underneath him.
Again,
and going, oh yeah, we don't like
time.
Again, to bring up the hollow crown that I reviewed on barbell.com, the scene, the two actors, Ben Whishaw and
Patrick Stewart.
No.
Not Patrick Stewart. But this scene,
oh,
particular scene,
this
is
scene.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And
Sasha
it was the first time I really...
Kinnear?
Kinnear. I really got how great, how interesting that is, and it's like we've said, it could be a play that could be done a lot more. Producers and theater troops out there, thank you for joining us for Act 4 of King Richard II. Go to barbell.com and listen to the first three acts and this one, leave a comment. Pick up your copy of Zunes at barbell.com. We are taking submissions, like I said, for The Mad King, third installment. Nick?
And rest in peace, Robin Williams and Richard Attenborough.
Yeah, one week, eh? Richard Attenborough is pretty old. We talked about Robin Williams last time.
Okay.
By the way, give us your thoughts on what your favorite Richard Robin Williams... You weren't here for that. What is your favorite Robin Williams movie, Nick? It's a big question.
It's a big one. Probably Good Will Hunting.
Patch Adams.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist. Yeah.
Eric's also.
Yeah.
Mine was The Fisher King.
I haven't seen Fisher King.
And we rewatched Good Morning Vietnam the other night. It's on Netflix, and it stands up.
Oh,
it's still
like
really
one.
Good.
That's maybe
really, really
that was
good.
His transition from Mork, I think.
I think Mork was
Lynch.
My favorite.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about him this morning with the eggs in the fridge, how he wouldn't let her make eggs for breakfast.
It's a TV show.
Because he's from Mork.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, we will be back with you shortly for the final act of Richard II.
See you next time.
Nice being with you.
See you next time.
presents Sonnet 39 as read by Mark Della Posta, Lord of St. Leonard.
O high thy worth with manners, may I sing, when thou art the better part of me. What can mine own praise to mine own self bring? And what it's but mine own when I praise thee? Even for this let us divided live, and our dear love lose name of single one, that by this separation I may give that due to thee which thou deservest alone. O absence, what a torment wouldst thou prove, were it not thy sour leisure gave sweet leave to entertain the time with thoughts of love, which time and thought so sweet doth deceive, and that thou teachest how to make one twain by praising him here who doth hence remain.